morning to you all, knowing this church always changes, like it'd be heavy over here one week and then heavy in the center. It is who we are. God answers prayer, amen? I'm not a political person, but I am a biblical person. And some things we can share from the pulpit because it's a biblical thing. I praise the Lord for answered prayer. Constitutional change. I'm thankful for that. And knowing the crowd this size, probably somebody in here would disagree. I still love you. Right now we're seeing in our country, it's just division. It's always been division. There's always been division in the world. And people believe that it's politics, whatever we want to call it. It's God and it's Satan. That's what it is. I'm not picking a color of blue or red today. I want to be biblical. You know that life is a gift that God created. We are not to take that. We are not to take it at all. It amazes me how much we want eternal life and salvation. And we do. We want that. And we celebrate that. But we want to put God's stuff over here. And we want our worldly stuff here. And when we want God, we'll reach out and try to grab Him. But we have this life. And we are supposed to call. We are called to live different in the world. We are called to live different in the world. And let me tell you, if anyone here, any ladies here have had an abortion in your past, you went to God and you asked forgiveness, you worked it out with Him, let me tell you, He forgives. He's not going to bring it up to you again. He's not going to bring it up to you when you pass. This is the gift of what forgiveness truly is. It is what the true forgiveness really is. And we can be thankful that God forgives. I don't know, it's a touchy issue because the world makes it a touchy issue. It's not a touchy issue biblically. It's the world makes it a touchy issue. Because anything that God is for, the world is against. And if they want to be, if the world wants to be what God is for, they'll find a way to twist what it is good and turn it into what they say is wrong or right. And they want us to jump on the bandwagon. I'm not interested in the world's bandwagon. I'm looking for the wagon that leads all the way to eternal life. And that's the one that Jesus paid with His life. And so I want to share with you today that there are, that one of the hardest things for a believer, even a lost person, when they are hearing things of God, and we're going to get to the lost person in just a little bit. So let me put them aside for a minute. But for the believer, one of the hardest things for you to do as a believer in myself is to draw to God. It is to draw to God. Drawing to God causes us to do something. It causes us to have to look at ourselves. Not in what we think, not in what we feel, but what the Holy Spirit brings forth. I always say this, I say it about myself, you're never good as you think you are. You're never as awesome as you think you are. I want to be in Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to talk about this drawing to God today. It's one of our themes, one of our banners up here. If you draw to God, He will draw to you. But we don't really want to draw to God sometimes. We want to draw to the music. We want to draw to a group. We want to draw to hospitality. We want to draw to all the good things in it. We may even want to draw to some of the working in the church. But to draw to God takes work. It takes honesty. It takes stepping forth and stepping into letting go and letting God be who He is. And it can be a scary thing sometimes for us because we don't want to talk about what God wants to talk about. And that's what's going on in our lives. Drawing to God can be one of the hardest things for a believer. It shouldn't be. But many times it is because sometimes we do have sin in our life that we're not dealing with. We're angry with God. We're not happy with the situation that God has for us. I have a little bit of a PowerPoint this morning. I'm going to do this part, and I'm going to go back through a couple of things. But when we draw near to God, I want to just remind you that the lost come to God. They come broken. They are sinful. They come broken. That's what they do. And God receives them as that because God is drawing them to himself to have that opportunity for them to ask and receive God, believe in Jesus, and have salvation. But that's how lost people draw to God. They draw to God broken, lost, sinful. And then we have the new Christians. New Christians, people who have come to Christ, they draw to God as babies in Christ. They don't know a lot, but they know they love Jesus and they've received Jesus and there's an excitement in their life. They're still messing up, still not understanding a lot of things, but they're just babies in Christ, and that's awesome. That's good. When you just come to Christ the first couple of years, you were a baby in Christ. If you have Jesus Christ, there was a time you were a baby in Christ. Amen? Doesn't mean they're less. It just means awesome that they just got more stuff to learn. And we need to be careful that we don't stay babies in Christ, as Paul says. We still can't teach you. You're still on the pure milk. You're still going to be on the milk for a while. We got to grow up in our walk with Jesus. Amen? But then there's this other group here, and it's seasoned Christians, and that is Christians should come prepared. Okay? We as Christians should draw to God prepared. I know when God is drawing me. Sometimes I'm going to draw to God because I know I need to, I want to. But then sometimes there's a moment when God is drawing you to himself. And we kind of want to keep doing this because we know when we get in the presence of God, some of you know that he's going to tell you, he's calling you to do something. Or he's going to have you take a new route in something. Or he wants to impact your life and give you direction. And sometimes we don't want that because we have to give something up. I want to remind you that when you came to Christ and you understood really what it was, and as you grow and you become a seasoned Christian, you begin to understand that your life is not your own anymore. You should know that your life is not your own anymore, that it was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a free gift, but it also, for you to experience the fullness of God, you got to give your life back to him. That he may have an impact in your life, because you can't do godly things without God. So we find that drawing to God, drawing near to God, it does take some work. Okay? And so I want to read a verse before we get into these PowerPoint here real quick. It says in verse 19, "Therefore, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Christ, blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, he opened for us through the curtain, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God," when we come to Christ, there is a relationship with us, with Jesus. The day we have salvation, there is a relationship that begins with you and Jesus. And it is ongoing. And we are called to go and approach the throne of grace boldly. Because we know who he is and we know who we are. But to draw near to God is going to take a few things. Here we go. We're going to go into this verse here. It says in verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed in pure water." What we see here is, let us draw near. Okay? Flip that next one, Alan. Okay, so that first part is, let us draw. We have to draw. We have to draw near. We have to draw to God. We have to draw, which means if we're drawing to God, we're drawing away from something else. We're walking away from something else. And that's one of the biggest struggles in Christians. We don't want to let go of where we are. What we have in our hands, and we don't want to move from where we are. We like the place where we are. We like what we have in our hands. We like what we're doing. But that's exactly what God wants you to do, is let it go. Because what God is getting preparing you for, you can't have both in your arms. You can't be in both places, because what he's going to do and work with you as a believer is going to be bigger than what you can do on your own, and you can't carry both. God doesn't take second place. If he's in second place, it's because you are putting him there. He is in first place. Okay? So we are called to draw to God. Anytime God calls you to draw to him and you do it his way, you are going to grow as a believer. You are going to grow in your walk with him. But many times when you draw to God, there's also going to be a cost. Drawing to God is what a lot of Christians do not want to do. But it's exactly where God wants you to be. Okay? So we need to draw near with a true heart. Okay? So with a true heart, my heart, your heart, needs to belong to Jesus Christ. Period. Your heart is who you are. Your heart needs to belong to Christ. Heart needs to be renewed. Many of our hearts in the past have been broken. Many of our hearts, people have broken our hearts. Our hearts have been shattered because of some tragedy or some pain in our life. We've lost loved ones, or our hearts have been broken. But I'll remind you that when Christ is in your heart, you have Christ. You have that true heart. It may have a crack in it, but it's still beating. It may have some problems there, but we know who holds the heart together. That Christ is holding you together. That your heart is not totally done. It's still beating, even through pain and suffering. There is a peace that God gives. And we need to remember that our heart is a true heart that needs to belong to Christ. If we're going to draw to God, we got to open up our heart that God may do what he wants with our heart. And then he goes on, he says, in full assurance of faith. I have to believe. My faith has to be in Jesus Christ, as yours as well. Many of our days are started by grabbing the phone off on the nightstand, trying to find a way to get our eyes bright and open. But what we do is we look at seeing all the junk that's in the world and not bringing up the Word of God to give us that good morning, that good start in the morning. We're picking up things that are very discouraging and very depressing. Even if you want to look at CNN app or you want to look at Fox News app, it's all pretty much negative. One side's hitting one and one side's hitting the other. It's very discouraging. One side beats up the president, the other side's lifting the president up. One side's saying this is good, the other side this is bad. But when I get into the Word of God, I know it never changes. I know that my faith is not in what the world is telling me, but it is what God is telling me. The world doesn't care if your world gets rocked. You might hit the news for a moment, whatever may happen to you. But it's old news. The next day it becomes old news. The next day it becomes even older news. But with God, it's all renewing. The problem I had last year, even though the world may not know, and the problem you had last year, and you're not through it yet, it's still news to God. And it's still fresh on his ears if you're talking to him about it. Where everybody else is throwing it off to the side, he's still working with it. He's still working with those 5-year-old, 20-year-old prayers. Because you're not giving up on grandpa coming to the Lord or grandma coming to the Lord or a niece or a nephew coming back out of the pig pen. The world doesn't care. But you keep bringing it and you keep drawing to God and you're bringing it to him. You do that because you have faith and your assurances. I know this. The world cannot fix my problem, but I know that if I give it to the Lord, he's going to do what is best with the situation that I have in my life. So my faith and assurance needs to be in Jesus Christ every day, on the good days and the bad days. But also it says, let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith, but our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. I got to get with the Lord every day. Lord, forgive me of whatever sins. I may mention what I've done or said or whatever, my thoughts. But there's also those things in my conscience where I think I'm clean. As Paul says, although my conscience is clear, it does not make me innocent. Which means there are some things in our life that we may have done that we don't realize what we've done. It's not come up to us yet. But we got to make sure our lives are right. That's part of drawing to God. There were some moments in my life where I knew God was drawing me, and I'm way over here. And as I'm way over here, I knew as each step I was taking, He became more clear to me. But also, there are things in my life that needed to be dealt with. As I kept drawing closer, I kept feeling the presence of the power of the Lord and how strong and how big He was, but also how small I really was. And then there came a moment as I got to even a closer moment, I felt His holiness. Now let me tell you about the holiness of God. As you draw to the holiness of God, first of all, He's allowing you to get a glimpse. He's allowing you to get a glimpse of His power, who He is, His awesomeness. And as you draw close to God, listen, we set up all these things. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing this. But let me tell you, you take the challenge to draw Him, to draw. You don't just read it, but you experience that Scripture. You draw to God. And if you start drawing to God, you experience the power of the Scripture, the true meaning of it, and you experience it. The Scripture says He'll draw to you. And as you're drawing, all those little steps I was taking, you know what was also happening? He was coming this way. And the closer I got to Him, I had to stop in my prayer, and I had to admonish one thing. I had to do this one thing. You know what it was? All my thoughts went away. I had to worship. You know what worship does? It lets you know who's in charge. It lets you know who and you are and where you're really coming from and how really, I don't want to say how puny our prayers are, but really how small our requests are, because we're coming to the One that can just, He can do it all. So when we're drawing to God, if we're drawing to God with a problem we have, we're drawing to God with something that's breaking our heart, we're drawing, there's more that God is going to do with that than just that. Many times as God is drawing us to Himself, because many times we have this desire to draw to Him. Let me tell you, He's already working. Most of the time we're not drawing because He's already calling us to Himself. He don't have to tell you. But as you're drawing to God, and you're drawing to Him with all of that, there's more that He wants to do than just what the problem is. Sometimes God will use a problem and a painful problem, a heartbreaking moment, a tragedy, something that you can't handle. He'll use that to cause you to draw to Him. And because of that circumstances, as you draw to Him, He's finally got your attention. Because we're all over the place. Even when I'm preaching, 3 or 4 people are sleeping all the time. I'm just telling you, that's what this church does. 5 or 6 are on the phone. Let me tell you, you miss your moments. It's not because I'm awesome, it's because He's awesome. And if you can figure out, as you worship Him, as you draw to Him, you're going to have moments that are going to be more powerful when He's calling you in your home, wherever it's at, more powerful moments there than you will have here. But it doesn't exclude here, because we're going to come here. But you will have those moments out there. My most powerful moments, most of them have been outside the church, in a field, in the woods, on the street. When I pull over and I said, throw my hands up, God, where are You at? I can't find You. Or in the woods, like, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. And what God is doing, He's drawing me from the crowd, the family. He's drawing me into a woods. And here He goes, now it's just us. No cell phones. No other family members. I got You for the next few minutes. And sometimes He don't say a thing. Just to feel the presence of God. Y'all talk about those hairs coming up on the back of your neck. You're talking about that. Let me tell you something. It overflows you. I've been in the woods before where I'm just like this. The next thing I know, I couldn't help it. I was on my knees in the woods. Why? Because I saw an albino deer? No. It's because, and that's pretty awesome to see that, saw that. It's because when you're in the presence of God, His presence always reminds you of who He is and who you are. And when you get into that moment, let me tell you, some of the things you thought you were going to say, when I get in front of God, I'm going to say this, they never come out. They just never come out. You're blown away by the presence of God. You're just blown away. But He gives you the strength. The Holy Spirit does get you to kind of spit it out because you just don't know what to say to a point. But you get it out and you might say, oh, Lord, my marriage is falling apart. That might be it. Lord, I can't pay my bill. They want to come and take what I have and I can't get what I don't have. Or my child, I got to run this out and I'm living crazy and my heart is broken. Whatever it may be, God will just remind you, I know. He'll say, I know. And what I've always known with this is the Lord always tells me, I got it. I know. I'm on it. And most of the time, the Holy Spirit will also whisper, He knew before I knew. And this is the big thing. Usually, this is the big thing. The Holy Spirit always says, now the Lord wants to talk about you. We always want to bring something up in our lives about what's going on or whatever, but most of the time in my life, my experience, and what I've seen in Scripture, is that when God draws someone to the point of whatever's going on in their life, whether it was David, or whether it was Job, or whether it was whoever it was, Abraham, God says, now let's talk about you. Going to talk about you. The presence of God is scary at times because when He wants to talk about you, He's going to talk to you about some of the stuff you might be doing that you shouldn't be doing. Or He wants to talk to you about, I want you to give up something because I have a plan for you. Or I want you to walk through this door and you already know what it is and you're like, you're not sure. He doesn't always tell you everything, does He? Because that's the faith part. We have to get through these moments. And we don't have to get through these moments of heartbreak by ourselves. So not only do we have to get rid of it, we have to work on this whole part of from not having an evil conscience and taking care of those sins and our thoughts are good, but also says that our bodies are washed with pure water, that we are washed clean, that our body is clean, that basically that we are without sin, that we need to be that part of, we need to be forgiven. As I said many times, when I know God is calling me, there's a walk, there's this, most of the time it's kind of a journey piece. And sometimes it can take a couple of days, a couple of weeks. Sometimes it's a couple of months. Sometimes it's just a few minutes when he's already there and He reveals that He's there. But as you get closer to it, there is that moment where He says, we need to talk about sin. And I remember that moment, those moments in my life where I knew that He was right there as He was drawn, but I couldn't get any closer. I could not get any closer until I had to confess some sins to Him. And of course, He says, I know. And we have to work through that. Because what you're getting ready to hear, I hope you understand, what you're getting ready to hear is, one, you're going to be in the presence of God Almighty, the Holy Creator of all things. Your God and your Savior. There's only one. To get in the presence of Him is amazing. You don't have a bad phone. You don't have to call these dignitaries because you can never get a hold of, right now if you want to get a hold of the governor today, it's not going to happen. You won't even get a hold of the mayor today. It might not happen. You might be able to finagle away. God is completely different. He is approachable. But He is God still. He is on the throne. We forget that. We want to say He's my friend, and He is. But my thing with the friend then is it's over there, because I got to remember who he is. He is God. He is the creator. A lot of times in charismatic things and all that, we just want to say it's Jesus, the friend, and the Holy Spirit. Listen, let me tell you, we sometimes got to get back to God is on the throne, and he is the ultimate judge. He is the creator. All them secrets that you got, it's coming out. Neither you deal with him, with it with him today, with it with him, or he's going to bring it out in front of everybody. I'd rather deal with the Lord right now. But as we draw close to God, we got to work on that part. We got to confess that. And our bodies is a temple. And if the temple is messed up, it ain't right. This is why a good Christian needs to speak with the Lord on a daily basis. Lord, if there's any offense in me, any sin or any iniquities in me, please reveal that today, that I might get right with you, that I might be a usable vessel to you today. And you speak on those things. And then he goes on, he says, let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering. We're not wavering. There's no wavering here, but people do. People miss callings because they waver. People miss God's direction because they waver. And as he says, for he who promised is faithful, and let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. It's not just about me, it's also about you, and it's us together. That we might do the good works that God's called us to as we draw together. So as we draw to God individually, we also need to draw to God corporately into worship. That's what we need to do. That's what he says here. And let us let's stay in away from, I gotta get my glasses next time. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do. There is a scripture that says that there are people who skip out on worship habitually, which means it's a habit. They lay out. So I just want to remind you that even back then, people were laying out. Even in the book of Acts, after the awesome miracles, people started laying out. And let me remind you, people that miss church a lot, something else is coming into their life a lot. Okay? This doesn't have to do with our elderly people who are at home or in nursing homes because they can't get out. They can't get out. But when we have a car and we're able to do that, listen, if the best time to canvas really for VBS is on Sunday morning, my opinion. There are more cars in the parking lot and on the streets on Sunday morning when I'm coming to church, and same as you, look down the streets, the street parking spots, the hardest time to find a parking spot is Saturday night, Sunday morning. Let me ask you a question. When was God not good enough? Because that's what people do. They found something better. When is God not better? Why is he not good enough? Why is he not good as he used to be? Because we got caught up in other things. We found other things. So he says, we're not to give up like some have already done. So we're not to stay away from our worship meetings as some habitually do. But we are to encourage each other, and all the more as we see the day approaching, the big day. Why? Because we always know through prophetic pieces in God's word, he is coming back. We need to be prepared for that. And we need to be prepared, whether it's going to be our death day or God's return, we need to be prepared. So what do I do in my life between now and then? I need to continue to try to be the best believer I can. How do I do that? By reading God's word, by worshiping, by being steadfast, by being a Christ-like person, trying to live that righteous life that God calls us to live. But also know that I need to draw to God, because if I don't draw to God and I just draw to music, or if I just draw to my life group, or I just draw the hospitality or just draw the serving in the church. What I've done is I made myself look like I'm just doing godly things. It might be doing some things. But I'm missing the most important thing. Who am I doing it for? Drawing to God, it takes work. Believe me, it takes work. There are times when you seasoned Christians, you know when God is drawing you, there are times when you know it and you feel it and you dig down just a little deeper. And you hope it passes. But when something happens in our life, we don't just want to draw to God, we want to run to God. I'm going to share this real quick. Sometimes when we're running to God, doesn't it seem like He's getting further and further away? I want to tell you why it does. Because you're not chasing the true God. You're chasing something you're never going to catch. We're chasing who we think God is. Because Scripture cannot lie. If you draw to God, He'll draw to you. So if you feel like I'm running to God, but He feels like He's running away, it's not a God problem. It's a me problem. Because we're not running to the intentions that we really want to draw to God. What we're running to is, Lord, if we know Him and someone is doing that, feels that just, our life isn't right. We just want God to fix everything and give us everything, but we don't want the closeness. We don't want what God wants. Let me tell you, when you draw to God, we feel like sometimes we want it to be a two-way street. We want it to be where we're drawing to God, He's drawing to us. Sometimes we get a little closer and we want to draw back. But if we're sitting there, we think that God is running from us, He's not running from us. We think we're drawing to Him, but we're actually running from Him. God has a route for us to follow and to draw to Him. And that is what we just read here with a true heart and with strong and confidence in our faith. And it is with a clean conscience. And I need to take care of this. Why? Because this is the temple. God doesn't dwell in temples, buildings built by men, but dwells in the hearts of men, the hearts of believers. Can I say it plainly? You can't live a homosexual lifestyle in the flesh and think you're going to draw to God and you're going to keep that lifestyle. You can't sit there and say, I'm going to use drugs, I'm going to drink every day until I'm just going to be a functioning alcoholic, but I'm going to draw God because this is what I want. It's not going to work that way. This is a temple. This is a temple. You got to take care of your business. You have to take care of your spiritual business. And if you don't, then it is your business and you are held accountable. Jesus Christ gives you a way. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. God gives us a way. So basically what it means is this. There is no excuse for my children of God to live in sin and keep their sin. There is no excuse for my children to not want to draw to me. Because Scripture's all about drawing. When God drew Moses, He used a burning bush to draw him there. This is what I want you to do. Let's go to Egypt. I can't do that. I can't talk good. Did you know the Scripture says that God was angry at Moses at that time? That God was very angry. You know, sometimes God gets angry at me. He might get angry at you. Do you know that He was angry with him after He showed him put your staff down, turns into a snake, Picks it back up, turns into a staff, put your arm back in your clothes. Oh, pull it out, it's your leprosy. Put it back in. Oh, you're clean. Wow, what great miracles. Besides speaking from a burning bush. Even if God was knocked down a tree, if you went in the woods and said, fall down, God, and I'll do it. Make this tree fall down. I knew a couple guys that said that. Make that tree fall down. God don't have to show himself like that. But you know God has showed himself like that all through time. Sometimes God does answer that. And you know what people do? They still don't do it. So it isn't about what you see. It's about this right here. It's what you believe. It's your faith. Is God drawing you to himself? For the lost person, when God's drawing them, he says, bring all your junk. I know your junk. I know all the junk in your life. You come and you bring it all, and you bring it all, and I'm going to share with you. I can cleanse you and make you white as snow, and I'm going to adopt you into my family, and you're going to be a child of mine forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Maybe you're a believer, and you're struggling in your walk, and God's calling you to draw to him to take care of some of your business. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe God's opened up some doors and you're afraid to go through them, and he's drawing you, and you know there's three or four doors in front of you. You want door number one, but God's saying, I got door number five for you. But you're like, that door don't look good. That door don't pay good. I just heard from a pastor friend of mine that his son stepped away from a $200,000 annual salary. $200,000 a year, and said, why do I want to do this? They said, why do you want to do this? He said, I've got two kids. He said, I'm making $200,000 a year. Where's my impact for Jesus? So he gave up a $200,000 job and started working in a nonprofit with elderly people. And he mentioned something about, you know, there's earthly treasures. You know what that is? That's God calling a man to do that. You just don't do that. God's calling. Sometimes God does open doors, and there's one that opens, and we don't want that one because it don't pay enough. We don't want that one because, oh, I don't want to do that one. That don't fit me. Let me tell you, anything that God calls, you're not going to fit. He makes it so you don't fit and lean on your own awesomeness, but that you have to lean on his awesomeness and his purity and his goodness and his gifts and his power. And all you need is the faith. And maybe today God is calling you and drawing you to tell you to do one thing. Because God is continuing watching you carry this burden all the time, and you're stressing out and you're full of anxiety. You can't, and God is saying, I want you to draw to me. I want that. You can't be who I want you to be as long as you keep carrying that. I want that today. And I'm telling you, when you draw to him, there's even more he's going to do. And most of the time when I'm getting ready, the drawing back is this. I don't know. He just gives you this. It's going to be okay. It puts it inside of you with this spirit. It's going to be okay. And there's a feeling of joy in the presence. Once the departation happens and you draw back to the regular part of life, there's an awness of knowing that, a reminder that I was in the presence of God. I spent 20 minutes with God. I broke down in front of God. I don't know how to tell you. But he was all around me. He was almost like he hugged me through the whole time. I was in the midst of his cloud of his presence. And I want to tell you this. If you've had that experience, how many of you know if you've had it and you're like, oh, I long to be there again. I want to go there again. Takes work, doesn't it? Drawing to God takes work. The rest of the world is running, drawing away from God. So many people in the churches are running away from God. God knows all about that. But when he mentions your name and he says, Jeremy, don't look at them. Come to me. Mike, draw to me. Tabitha, come to me. I want to talk. Folks, we serve an awesome God. He is beautiful in all ways. He's been so patient with me, and I know he's been patient with you. But I know above all things, he still loves us. Father, we're getting ready to make a moment here. We have balloons on the stage for a great week, but it's still an altar. I pray, Lord, you just have your will. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. Our time.